My name is Michael Young. Today is September the 15th, and I am speaking with Kathy Young, who is my mother, and we are recording this interview in Cartersville, Georgia. You were a nurse for over 20 years, mm-hmm. and you know, you more than anybody would know about stress. Mm-hmm. Being a prospective teacher, what would your advice be to me on how to deal with the potential stress that I'm going to face?
The old way, count to 10, really, before you say anything, so you can think about what you're going to say or what you're going to do, and address the person or people that are giving you stress and hand it back to them and ask them what's wrong. Why are you acting that way? So then you know how you can deal with it.
When you were a nurse, you dealt with a lot of stressful situations. Outside of those de-escalation techniques that you know you just discussed, outside of work, how did you deal with stress?
Actually, to be honest with you, I slept a lot. I read a lot. I did anything I could do to get what I had done or seen in that particular shift out of my mind. And other times, when we did have a really, because I was a trauma nurse, and when we'd have a particularly nasty trauma, what we would usually do after our shift was go out to breakfast. And for us, breakfast was like dinner because I was night shift. And a lot of the nurses drank, you know, at like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. I never did do that. I found that it was good just to sit around and just go over it again, because you always, when you're in that situation, you're always wondering if you did the right thing or if you missed something. And then that added more stress to your situation, that I didn't do everything we could do for this person. If the outcome was good, we didn't have to go out to breakfast and talk it over. But if the outcome was bad, we would go out and we would talk about it. Usually the position that we were working with in a trauma would go over it too. So, you know, we could get to the subject. And it helped. It helped. But I always was concerned about the nurses who drank after a shift like that, because you know, you work 12, 14 hours and then you're getting you're drinking and then you're getting in the vehicle and you're driving home. And then you're fine, so you stress about that too. But so it was just kind of a hamster wheel, you know. So you know, my thing was, and too, if it was a bad one, I called my mom every morning on the way home from work. And if it was a really bad one, for some reason she had the ability to talk to me, and I could say whatever I wanted to her, and she would say something, you know, that was like profound, that she didn't even know she was doing, that would make me see that I did what I could do.
Shifting gears a little bit, and, you know, I'm asking this as somebody who has one himself. Do you believe that you suffer from any mental illness?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you believe that the stresses that you put yourself in, being a nurse, mm-hmm. the stresses that I'm going to be putting myself in as a teacher, mm-hmm. do you think that those exacerbated your mental illness or helped you deal with it a little bit more?
Well, the one thing I didn't have before was a nurse, or I did maybe slightly less, PTSD. I definitely have PTSD. Every nurse I know that I've worked with, I was in ER for 8 years, and before that I was doing heart. I was in a heart unit, and I ran a cardiopulmonary unit. But every nurse I know that I've worked with in ER, all of us, called PTSD. We all have it, and it comes from reps and just the overall way that nurses are treated now. It's a younger drive. I went into nursing a long time ago, and it's a different profession than it is now. Now it's a customer service profession. It's not a calling anymore like it used to be. But yes, it increased my depression. It definitely increased my anxiety tenfold, I think. So I still take medication for that. And I do take medication for depression.
Okay. Did you ever do something maybe that wasn't such a good idea in order to deal with your anxiety and depression that was caused by maybe a trauma at work?
Yeah. That would be when I would come in. And to be honest with you, I would take some lead and just tap out and go to sleep. So I didn't have to think about it. And then it's usually involved in children. Situations with kids that were just horrendous. And, even now, after being out of nursing and retired and not doing it anymore, I can still see every single one of those faces. And that's something that's part of PTSD.
If you had advice for someone who is going into a profession that is stressful, nursing, teaching, if you had some advice to give to them about how to deal with the stress that they're going to face, especially someone who already has maybe a hint of a mental illness, mm-hmm. what would you tell them?
Well, everybody, every single person has stress now. Being a teacher 20 years ago and being a teacher now, two totally different professions. Okay? 20 years ago, the kids that were in school, you respected your teacher, you listened to your teacher, and that teacher was an authority person that you could go to or could help you. But most of all, when they said, told you to sit down and be quiet, you sat down and you were quiet. These days, you have to, as a teacher, even as a healthcare person, you have to be totally careful about what you say. You have to be careful about what you do. You can't hug a child. That's not allowed anymore. It has negative connotations. Versus 20 years ago, it was a connotation, it was a loving way of trying to help a child. You can't do that anymore. Things have changed. Kids today don't have the attention spans that they used to. They don't have the discipline at home that they used to. And they think that they are entitled, as well as do their parents, that they should be treated a specific way and not talked to in a specific way. So needless to say, you have kids coming to school that think that no matter what they do, it's okay, because it's okay at home, and it's not. So you're going to have situations where even if you try to de-escalate what's going on with a child or with a patient, you can't do that anymore. And 9 times out of 10, and I'm sure it's going to happen soon in teaching. I know it's in the healthcare. Because I had to go through it. They actually give them a card. And you go to a restaurant and they give you a card so you can write about the service that you got and the food that you had. Well, now they do that in hospitals and emergency rooms. And if one patient out of the 25 that you took care of that night has one bad thing to say about you, you get called on the carpet. And I think pretty soon that same thing is going to be done with teaching. And I think they're going to be sent to the parents to see how the parents feel about how you're dealing with your child. And it's just not a good thing. It's something that's going to happen, and I feel bad for it. I feel bad for anybody right now that's in a profession that has to deal with the public in a professional way, because it's not easy enough.
Last question. You said that you believed healthcare was no longer a calling,
right,
and it was a customer service profession.
Yeah.
Do you believe that teaching is heading in the same direction?
I do. I do think that our teachers have to do it as a calling, and it's something that they really like to do. And if you can have that one teacher in your life, and I had that one teacher in my life in the third grade, Mrs. Brown, and I'll never forget her, and I'm an old person, you know, she's long gone by now, but she made me believe that I could, she made me believe that I was perfect, and that I did know how to do things, and that I could think for myself. And because of that, and because of the way she treated me, I had a great education. I had, never had a problem with school, always had good grades, and actually believed I could do it. And there, like I said, there are teachers that still believe it. It's that way, as there still are. There's nurses that still believe it's hard. I still believe it's hard. There's times when I actually miss it. Not so much the trauma part of it and that kind of thing, but that one-on-one that you get with somebody that you talk to them, you help them, and you know you made a difference. So if a teacher can go into that thinking that, you know, regardless of what else is going on, stressor, everything else, you can make a difference to that one kid, when you create somebody and help this person know that whatever it is that they want to do, that you're there and you'll help them do it, and it gives you a self-esteem that you never lose. You never lose it. So, you know, just from that third grade teacher, I realized at that point, at 8 years old, that, hey, I can do this. I can do whatever it is that I want to do. And to this day, I still think I'm thankful for that teacher. And I think everybody that I know has had that teacher. So, you know, just try to work in that one. Don't think that you can change everybody. Don't think that you can make everybody. But if it's just like one kid that you can actually help and make them understand that they are worthy and that they're a special person and they have special gifts, then you're successful.
All right. Well, thank you for your time, and I appreciate you answering my questions.
No problem.